White Aryan Resistance. This is a webmaster. September 12th, 2016. Before this interview with Tom and the Press Enterprise, I want to mention there are a lot of breaking news links up on the website and also some new Race and Reason YouTube channel videos going up this week. If they're not up there yet, check back in a couple days. They will be up there. And the link is either at the bottom of Tom's emails or it's up on the website. Tom and the Bunker are still out of commission today, and we will see how soon the crews can get the power back up after almost a direct hit by lightning. If you see another historic show tomorrow, that is the reason why.
Okay. Whenever you're ready.
Okay.
This is, it has shown the groups like the Anti-Defamation League and so forth and the government itself that we are capable of attracting sizable numbers of youth to our cause, which obviously is something that frightens them very much. Especially now that we have advised all the skinheads that would listen to not dress in a skinhead way, to make sure they get a good education, get into very sensitive spots and so forth, and whether it's a business, government, or whatever, and keep your mouth shut. And but still maintain your ideas and thoughts, and that scared him more than everything, because everybody all of a sudden said, "Where'd all the skinheads go?" Well, we've got a cartoon that shows a guy in court or someplace. He takes off his hairpiece and he's got a suit, a nice briefcase, and you know, a lot of the kids that joined me way back in the 80s are now in the business, and they've married, have families, and they wouldn't know they'd ever been a skinhead.
When did you first start advocating that route?
Well, I became associated with the British skinheads first.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because the British skinheads, under Ian Stewart, had agreed to work as bodyguards and play music for the National Front political party in England. And since we were in contact with the National Front party in England, there started to be a relationship going on there. And a friend of mine went over there to one of their concerts and videotaped the whole thing. And gradually, we were promoting them. And then the skinhead thing was catching on here. It was evolving out of the punk rock scene, a lot of it. And so they started hearing from over there about me. And, wow, this guy likes us, okay? Everybody else didn't want to have anything to do with it, including most of the Klan and these outfits. All that, this is terrible, these hooligans and all that. You know? And so, but we said, sure, we're friends with the skinheads. And then we put on a couple of rallies or music fests. And we put on one of the first. It was up in east of San Francisco, Castro Valley, I think it was, and which we got. Well, the courts made us shut down. We couldn't play the music. I mean, we're out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you know, it was nowhere. We were on this ranch, and we had to stay down in the middle of and the court come out and said we couldn't play, and they surrounded us with cops. They had helicopters. They had mounted cops with rifles and telescopic sights on the hills, everything. And all we wanted to do was play some music, make a few speeches, and go home. The FBI took a house across the road from us, moved the people out. The military was involved, just because some guys wanted to have, you know. So anyhow, then from then on, we started having these fests, and we couple of them in Oklahoma. And so then finally some of the other groups started saying, oh, well, you know. So they would get the skinheads to march with them for security, but then they didn't want to really associate with them. Anyhow, they call me the godfather of the skinheads, but, I mean, I'm not in some kind of position where I direct them necessarily. I advise them, you know. The rough skinheads are very independent, and they have their own mind, and I can advise them. That's all I can do. From then on, who knows? Some of them do right, some of them screw up, you know.
Do you remember what year it was that your friend went over and did the screwdriver concert?
It had to have been right around 85, as I recall. I can't be quite... I'd have to just research that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's... how long had you had contact with the British National Front?
Well, I'd had contact with them since the early 80s. And supported them, you know, just morally supported them. And so then Ian Stewart, who had Screwdriver Band, dedicated a couple of his albums to us. So that every skinhead in the country was buying them, you know. So, whoa, who's this Metzger? So they'd be calling us and writing us. I still show up once in a while to their concert. They got one coming up in Orange County here in a month.
I was going to talk to you about that.
I'll probably show up. I get in the mosh pit right with the boys.
Yeah.
They get a kick out of that.
They actually make a proposal.
Well, whatever it is, you'd have to make it through the people who are running it, because I don't ever like to come off like I'm butting in and, you know, tell them.
Does the band, they invited me, they told me I could come.
Oh, okay.
And I was just going to ask you, I mean, because I'd be by myself, you know, I was just wondering, because I'm going to be actually down in San Diego that day, and so I was just going to drive up to L.A., and I was going to offer you, a ride, if I could go, with you. Just...
I'm not sure. You might get in contact with me when we get closer.
Okay.
I don't even know the details yet.
Yeah.
And then I don't know who's going where or what's happening.
Right, yeah.
So we'll see.
Okay. All right, yeah. It would just be probably a little bit more, a little safer, shall we say, rather than going by myself,
Well, you'll be safe. There's no problem. Look, if you don't give skinheads trouble, they don't give you trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone that would do that is not considered anything that I have anything to do with.
The lead singer was telling me it's there, and actually the drummer too.
Which band?
Youngblood. Yeah.
I always say Youngblood.
Yeah, I know. They were telling me
that's Marty. We're talking about Marty.
Actually, Scott and Mike, the lead singer. Yeah, I haven't met Marty yet, but
Marty's the main guy.
Mm-hmm. I talked to Scott quite a bit.
They're a bit noisy.
I wonder if this is picking up. There you go. But
you might want to check it out, see if you're getting enough.
Yeah. Let's see.
I go out front, but I don't want to talk to those cops around. I mean, it's not that there's anything big deal, but it's just. I don't want to give them the satisfaction.
Yeah. I mean, it's picking it up, but it's picking up all that background noise.
Okay, we might have to move. I think there's a grinding beam. I think now that they're done grinding beans, that'd be all right. Okay, where were we? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so...
you're already talking to them.
Yeah, they told me that they're expecting like 200 to 300 people and that there could very well be problems.
Well, the last one we had, there was no problem.
Yeah, that's what they said, that they went real smooth.
Sometimes there is. I told them, I'm not coming to these things if they're going to have Once in a while, the skinheads will get in a fight with each other, and that pisses me off.
Right.
I told we had one up Orange County about 3 years ago, and ended up in a riot. So I'm not coming back if you guys are going to fight each other. That's not what it's all about.
Right.
So if they've got good security, anybody cause a problem, boom, they're out. Also, they'll lose their venue for the place they're renting, you know.
Right, yeah.
Some of the guys, unfortunately, come in and they don't ideologically ground themselves, and they're more into, you know, young kid, hey, woo, I'm tough, you know, and things like that. They have a few drinks, and then there's some woman or some girl, and boom, you know.
Right.
There is one group, used to be up there in Orange County too. They weren't really skinheads, they were a gang going around as skinheads.
Which one's that?
Marty knows who they were. They're the ones that caused trouble at that one other meeting. And then there's something called Nazi lowriders.
I was going to ask you about that.
These guys are way out of in outer space. There's Mexicans and everything else running around yelling white power. I don't know what their bag is.
I hear they tend to, you know, but more like a gang. Yeah,
some people would use the political thing as a cover for this plain criminal activity. Then we get blamed for it.
I imagine some of them will show up at the show.
I don't think so. I think they're pretty well weeded them out.
Oh, really?
After that last deal, Marty knows who they are. I don't think he'll let them in. These things will bring people together, not split them apart.
Get a little closer, then I'll contact you again and see what you think.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, I'd
be willing to drive.
Last time I videotaped it.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
I don't know. They may have somebody else videotaping. I'll ask them. I'll bring a camera.
Does your son usually go too?
No, he hasn't been. You know, John, you know, was never really a skinhead.
Right.
He operated the Aryan Youth Movement, which had a lot of skinheads involved. Well, he got married. Now he's got a good job. He's got three boys. So he keeps pretty busy. So he don't do much of that anymore. I'm the juvenile delinquent of the family.
Has he settled in Fallbrook?
He's over here in Carlsbad. Close. Yeah. My other daughter may go, though, to the get-together.
Uh-huh. Is she still organizing active? The Aryan Women's?
Well, she works with a lot of Aryan women. Uh-huh. The Aryan Women's movement thing was absorbed into war.
Oh, okay.
So it isn't expressly Aryan Women's movement.
Uh-huh.
But we do cater somewhat to the women, more than the right wing does. In fact, we have part of our editorial this month is the Aryan Woman's Manifesto, which gives these white guys off, you know, treating them like breeders and stuff like that. See, a lot of the skinheads, and I don't know, they've gotten this stuff out of the right wing. And a lot of them have gotten it out of Christianity and the identity movement. And they're rehashing all this shit, you know, a woman's place has got to be in the kitchen stuff. And shut up and we'll run things. And really, they're falling into the trap of what the churches have been into. And so we try to counterbalance that. A good share of my best contacts, associates around the company are women. And our front page in this paper will be dedicated to women too, plus part of the editorial. But some of these skinhead boys use the thing about, well, we got to have white babies. Excuse me, hey baby, let's have sex. And then in then in 6 months they leave the woman for the kid. That's just the opposite of what we're interested in.
Now, is your daughter this real active? Is that the one that's married to Rivars?
No.
How many daughters do you have?
Five.
Okay. How many are active?
Well, they're active at different levels. Mm-hmm. And, Lynn runs in Dara, which is, has music, CDs. Really brilliant. I didn't realize they were going to be crying and talking. Hey, look, the cops left. There's a seat out there. Why don't we go outside?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
Damn, is it going to happen? I must have a short tape in there. Okay, where in the hell were we?
Your daughters.
Oh, well, Lynn is the most active, even though she's a full-time career woman and has a daughter. Which she's raising. And Carolyn, Robard's wife, she's a homemaker. And she does her little things, you know, keeps me apprised, videotape stuff off TV and stuff. Sort of a low-key, but
yeah.
And then my one daughter, Doreen, she's not involved, actually, in activity. She's up in Washington State. She's has two children. I have nine grandchildren. And, let's see. Her name is first John. And then I have a 17 or 18-year-old. She's studying at the university. I'm not going to tell you which university. They just sent her to Britain for studies. She's been over there for several months. And they sent her down to Germany around. And then I have one 16-year-old still at home. You know, and, you know, she's a 16-year-old. She's involved in everything. She's involved in boys.
Main study, right?
So I think I covered them all.
The 16-year-old, they all share some.
Oh yeah, except Doreen. She's more. She got into the more Christian idea, and she when she was in college up in Fullerton.
Is she identity then?
No. She's not. She married a white guy and they got white kids and like that, but she's not involved. She's the one daughter is not involved. She got hooked into Christianity and
mainstream.
The big hook. And so I don't push her. We get along fine. I wish she not never got hooked up with those Christians in college. To me, that's like a cult. They really get some wacky ideas in their heads.
So, let's see.
We're a pretty tight family. We've always been a tight family. We had to be. We went through a lot of crap.
In terms of when you first started, kind of associating with some of the skinheads here.
Yeah.
How long after that did you start advocating, you know, growing your hair out and working within the system? Or,
gee whiz.
Was that immediate? Or
no, not immediately. Immediately. It was after we began to see that there were too many good men just being wasted because they were involving themselves in racial activity, but at such a low level that they could drink too much beer and go out and beat up some guy on a street corner. And, you know, that ain't going to get us anywhere. I mean, if I thought it would, I'd be beating somebody up every night, you know. I said, too many guys are getting thrown in jail, some for a long time. You're proving nothing. So I said, we got to advocate that the ones of you who want to, because I always advise, I can't border. Yeah. I don't run that kind of an operation. That you do go this route, and that was that would have been probably in the late 80s after we'd been involved with the skinheads for two or three years at least.
Was it before or after the whole thing in Portland?
Portland? Oh, yeah. Before that. Okay. We were talking about it. I've got, we did our TV show for since 1983, and I've got stuff like that on there that was before that. Okay. Yeah, the ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center, and those people think that a lot of things I do are because of the Portland trial.
Right.
That's nonsense, because I spit in their eye and became more radical and kept the paper going and everything. And it's just that I felt it was time for tactics to change. There were too much, too many people, I had too many meetings and too many infiltrators and too many agents and all that. I said, this is nonsense. And if you're going to be a skinhead and walk down the street with boots and braces, they're going to ID in a second. You got to fight your way through all the black gangs and everything. Why go through all that? Because I mean, you could kill all those guys. It wouldn't make a difference in Washington. In fact, they'd love it because give them somebody to pick on.
I'm supposed to get on base. The sheriff won't let me on base because I have to get on base. I got to work.
What exactly do you think was the impact of the court decision?
The impact was it made me more radical. Everything they've ever done made me more radical. It didn't make me slack off. They offered me that I could keep my house, keep my business, and they would leave me alone if I would just sign some papers and agree not to be active.
How would you respond to that? I've heard some people say, you know, that after that court decision, the war of skins, the skin that you were claiming, the war of skins kind of, you know, have disappeared since then.
Well, yeah, I think a lot because they were listening to what I was saying. See, it doesn't make any difference whether you're legal or not. If they want to screw you, they're going to screw you, so why be a target? So I think the smarter ones went that way. But, I mean, I've got war T-shirts going all over the country with skinheads. So, I mean, they're whistling past the graveyard. They wished I was out of it. They didn't even... Morris Dees wouldn't talk about me for about... Well, the first time he's talked about me, except
I put him out of business,
which he didn't, and was about a month ago. All of a sudden, in his bulletin, they rediscovered Tom Metzger. Oh, this guy is really dangerous because he is advocating left-wing things and like that, bringing leftists in, and... they're joining up with the left and attacking the World Bank people and the World Trade Agreement and all that. Huh? And, oh, this is dangerous. Suddenly, Tom Metzger is back in the news. Or at least, you know, and these would go around his colleges always speaking. Oh, we put Metzger out of business. And we'd usually have some guys in the audience say, well, wait a minute, I got his newspaper here, he got a TV show. Every time I turn on the TV, I see him. I mean, don't sound like he's out of business.
So the TV shows are still going too?
No, we're not doing a TV show. We haven't done that for a year or so.
A year or so.
It was quite a bit of work. And we had to go all the way to San Diego once a month to do it. John was very busy. He had to do all the editing and all that. And then I had to get guests. And it was difficult to get good guests just from the area because you run out of guests pretty soon. And then we didn't have the money to bring them in. So, and also it became less and less a novelty, this public access. You know, we got plenty of yardage out of it. We still sell the tapes. So now I want to get into, and I've been wanting to do this, is this video where I can interview people on the internet or by video telephone. So I can interview guys in Russia and all over the place and then put that on videotape. And I got a camera coming now for on the computer, so I can do some of my updates with put my kisser up there and like that. So we, there's new techniques all the time that we're catching on to. Yeah. Whatever works.
Right. What about this? The claims by Deez and others about this the anti-world protests and all that stuff. I mean,
that's true. I've supported it 100%. I told our people. Don't go up and identify yourself to these people, because there are a lot of people on the left, just they're just bad as rigid as people on the right. You know, blah, 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 but we hate racists, you know, but just, you know, work with them on the level you can work with them on. And we have a lot of cross-pollinization with the anarchists and people like that, that don't all necessarily agree with our racial position, but, you know, we work together on what we can work together on. And it works out. And so I have no idea how many of our type people were actually in the streets in Seattle, but I gave them all the green light. I said, hey, this is great. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that bothers people like these, because I never allowed myself to get pigeonholed into one way of acting and so forth. Whereas most of these groups, rigid organizations, they have sit around, have a committee to think about it for 6 months before they do anything.
How long have you, advocated that approach?
You know, I've advocated that for a long time. It finally seeped through their thick skulls. Way back in 80, I started talking about this stuff and working with the left and advocating left-wing positions, some economics and so forth. We came out against the Cold War with Russia. We came out against the invasion of Nicaragua, intervention. We came out against the Grenada invasion. In short, we began to label the United States an empire, and it was an evil empire, and we opposed all its intervention around the world. And also, we developed links to Earth First. Loose.
Right.
And some of our members are, some of our associates are members of these ecological groups.
Now, how does that work? Do they disclose, like, if they're a member of both, does each organization, like, does Earth First know that they're also members of?
Usually not, probably, because there's no need to have a, because, see, the guy that did run Earth First, Dave, what's his name? I forget. They sort of bounced him out. He was talking somewhat race. See, I say, and I've been saying all along, that sooner or later the ecological movement and the race movement will converge. Because it's a natural. More immigration means screwing the ecology up more. More immigration means non-white immigration. So anytime you're fighting for better ecology, you're going to end up in the race situation too, sooner or later. But a lot of the liberal ecology people are all fucked up, because they promote protecting the ecology, but they're for big immigration. That is just 180 degrees out of phase. That's why we say we're in phase. And the ecological movement, the anti-New World Order thing, and all of us are moving parallel but sort of coming together. And, you know, give us another few years down the road, you know, and it'll be a pretty happy deal.
All right. What time do you get off today?
In other words, we're on the way up and the system's on the way down.
Mm-hmm.
It'll try to modify itself, of course. Reinvent itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll try to get a little up.
What about this? What about support? Like, some skinheads seem to have supported Reagan.
Well, if they did, that's, you know, we didn't. Like, again, we don't order anybody to do anything, but we did oppose Reagan in both elections.
Uh-huh.
And I once worked for Reagan when he was running for governor in the state. I know about Reagan.
Yeah.
So they started calling me a Bolshevik. And the other side called me a Nazi, so I figure I'm about the right position.
When you say the someone on the right started calling you Bolshevik, like what elements of the right?
The old mossbacks of the right. Right racial. Ed Fields of David Duke.
Did Butler ever engage in that?
Butler's always been friendly to me. We don't agree on the religion thing anymore, I don't know what he said behind my back, but in person he's always been very friendly. Some of his people have attacked me pretty badly. Some of the people, he gets a lot of yahoos up there running his outfit that, man, these guys are two sandwiches short of a picnic.
Been up there a few times.
I went up there once or twice and had a good time. I said, look, that's the end. Every tenth guy, there's an agent.
Yeah.
I even called him one time. I spotted an informant up there for the San Diego Police Department.
Oh, really?
They had him all made up. Doug Seymour was his name. And I said, hey, I saw it on the satellite. He's there. Oh, well, we'll take it under advisement. I said, oh, okay. Poor old Mr. Butler is, he's not too good a shape.
I was up there last summer. He's pretty bad shape.
And these guys he gets around him are real Looney Tunes.
What do you think about Britain?
Well, Britain means well. He's a very dedicated man, but still this Christian thing. And the Lord's going to deliver us one day, all that kind of stuff. And he's so infiltrated, I won't go down to his... I went down once, just to show him, kind of shake his hand. Because his brothers, and Connie Lynch and people like that, did some good stuff back in the old days. But I know the informants, or at least some of them, that go to his meeting. And I've told them over and over, these guys... One of them works for LAPD. He's worked for LAPD for 20 years.
He has the monthly meetings?
Yeah, but his attitude is, well, as long as God preaching the gospel... but that isn't the way it works. They come to the meeting, they get everybody's name if they can, where they work.
Yeah.
And if they can, they get befriend them, talk to them. Pretty soon they got them going out doing some bullshit thing, getting arrested.
Right.
So I say, I recommend people not go to these things.
What about Pierce? What kind of relationship?
Pierce and I have a sort of up and down relationship. I have a lot of respect for Dr. Pierce. He's a little too elitist for me. He thinks that he can recruit the rich and powerful and they're going to solve the problem. And I say, bullshit, those are the people that got us into this mess. You'll have to shoot them. You know, the only guy you can depend on is the working class guy. He brings people in that... he's got a guy now that's operating an outfit called the Special Forces Underground. But he puts out a magazine, on the Special Forces Underground. I have Special Forces friends, and they laugh about this.
Oh,
really? Guy goes around giving speeches. And one thing, too, he's very anti-woman. His speech is about, God, women in the service is horrible. He just goes too far.
Uh-huh.
But... they put out a lot of good books and say a lot of good things, and if I can get along with them, I do. In fact, I just, last Friday night, some of his members were down here, and we went out and had a few drinks and had a good time. So, out here in the field, we did pretty good. He attacked me pretty bad a few weeks ago on the internet, but I take a swipe at him once in a while, too. But it's not personal, really. It really isn't personal. But he is sort of the so-called intellectual type. He sits in his little ranch, his little bunker down there and thinks, I'm out in the street. People want me, they call me on the phone. My number's in the book.
Right.
They write me on the email and they're all shocked because right away I email them back. And, oh my God, I never expected to get you. You call these other guys, you got to go through 10 people to get to them.
Right. Do you consider the National Alliance to be the, for lack of a better term, the premier organization?
The premier membership organization group,
membership.
And because what we do is totally different.
Right.
In fact, we our strength is network. Uh-huh. Organization to me is bullshit. It's
right.
Network.
Uh-huh.
Organization is passe.
Yeah.
In a modern world.
Uh-huh.
Why do I need to have members? Only 10% of any membership group do any work.
Right.
So first of all, get rid of 90% of them right off. The only reason you got them there is to contribute money.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't tell them that. You come up with an idea. This is the plan, right, boys, with two or three of the key guys? Okay, let's have a meeting. Bring all the guys in and say, what do you think about this? And all those guys, they just want to be entertained. Then they have, oh, that's a good idea. Okay, pass the hat. Give me some money. That's what organizations are for. And that's okay, as long as everybody understands the way the game is played. But they are the best, membership organization and the purest racial in the country.
Mm-hmm. What do you see in their future?
Oh, they'll get busted,
yeah.
Sued, screwed, tattooed,
yeah.
And then they'll say, well, I guess you were right, Tom. Sooner or later, they'll get them. Of course, Pierce is, about 2 or 3 years older than I am, and I don't think he's in that great of health. So I don't know how long Pierce would be around, you know.
Yeah.
Well, who knows, I might drop dead for him, I don't know. But the question is, who would fill his shoes? I don't think he's got anybody that can fill his shoes properly. And Butler is a pointed Briton, and that's the worst mistake he ever made. I mean, Briton's a nice guy, I really like the guy, but... he needed a young man.
Right, yeah. Britton doesn't seem in much better health than Butler.
No. Too bad. If Britton was 20 years younger, he's a fireball.
Yeah, he's a powerful speaker. I saw him speak a couple of times.
Yeah. So I think as the government becomes more oppressive, there won't be any way you can have any kind of above-ground organization members. It's just I started preparing earlier than they did.
Do you think like Duke's going to come around to that? Or?
Duke's going to go to jail probably pretty soon. And that'll be the end of Duke because he'll fold up like a cheap milk cart.
So the no fear is not going to... What's that? Isn't that his most recent argument? The no fear? The NOR... What is it? What's that stand for?
Oh, you mean Dave Duke's deal?
Yeah.
Well, he's got this... he's got no fear, I guess. But these are, what he collects is all these old right-wing conservatives, some of the young guys that don't know any better. And David Duke has talent up the ass, but it's too bad. I know him really well, and he's a hollow man. And if he gets busted, he'll collapse. He couldn't take prison. Supposedly, he's on the verge of being indicted in Louisiana, and the rumor I had, he was going to be indicted a month ago, but nothing's happened.
Like tax type stuff? Or?
Well, he's always selling his mailing list, you know. He tried to sell, back when he ran the Klan, he tried to sell the mailing list to Bill Wilkinson of the Klan for $35,000 or something, and of course, Bill Wilkinson turned out to be an FBI informer. So this is the way Duke plays the game. He runs for office, and he knows he's not going to win, but he gets a huge mailing list built up, fresh new mailing list.
Mm-hmm.
Then, after the election's over, he turns that into fund appeals for his new deal, see. Well, he got caught. He sold his mailing list to the governor or something. And then he was almost caught a while back for not reporting his income properly on the campaign and stuff. I don't know. Those guys are on another playground.
Yeah.
They keep saying they kicked me out of the right wing. I said, I left a long time ago. Quit trying to include me in the right wing. I don't want to be in the right wing.
What's your prognosis for the WCOTC?
They're basically good, and classes start a good idea. With a few changes, it could be the real thing. And Matt Hale is young, he's aggressive, he's doing a good job. He may be wrapped just a little bit too tight, but as long as he don't come apart at the seams, I'm all for him. I told them, get rid of all that reverend stuff and that, well, they used to have the Pontifex Maximus. Yeah. You know what that means?
No.
Bridge to God.
Oh.
Now, if you're not a Christian outfit, why would you say, you know, he don't even know that, I don't think. But anyhow, then you had the Hostis Primus and all that shit. I told Ben before he died, I said, come on, Ben, you got a great thing here, but get rid of all this nonsense. Don't call it church. People are fed up with churches. The minute you say church, I'm gone. And most of the young people. But in spite of all some of the silliness, they've done real good. And, of course, they'd have been dead in the water if it hadn't been for Matt Hale.
Mm-hmm.
He's breathed life back into it. They were really meandering for a few years after Ben died.
Right.
They wanted me, of course he'd ask other people too, they asked John and I to take it over, Ben did. I said, Ben, I don't think you and I could, you know, you're just too aggressive and I am too, and I don't think it would work. I got my mind, you got your mind, and I don't think either one of us would budge much. I said, first of all, I'm going to get rid of all this nonsense about learning Latin and wearing cowboy hats, and you're not going to be the Pontifex Maximus anymore. You'll be the director. I'm not going to call it a church anymore. Now they're getting sued because some outfit, some Christian church calls itself it's the same deal, Church of the Creator. They're up in Oregon or someplace. Oh, huh? Ashland.
Oh, in Ashland.
A bunch of lefties got a so-called church. I don't know what's going to happen there. But the Nature's Eternal Religion and White Man's Bible, I recommend to everybody.
The lawsuits seem to be a real... Because now the Hammerskins are getting sued, right?
Yeah, well, I warned Hammerskins a couple of years ago that this was going to happen. I said, look, you can't be a membership organization anymore. You got to operate differently. And they started making some changes, but I don't think the suit will get anywhere because trying to find these skinheads is like trying to find a needle in a... I can't even find them half the time. So, you know, well, I sued a skinhead. Yeah, well, you know, it's like the judge said, well, you got a judgment here if you can collect. You know, I'd have been better off of not even going to court, you know, and if I'd have just put all my stuff in somebody else's name. I was so legal that I didn't figure I'd ever have that problem. That's what got me. But I told the skinheads, I said, look, you got any property, put it in somebody else's name and just don't have anything. And so they can get all the judgments in the world and they can brag about a newspaper. But call yourself something else or don't call yourself anything. That's what worries them. I give them advice if they ask.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to help the guys who got arrested up here in Temecula, but I don't get enough information. I can't help them. I don't even know their attorney's name, so you know, if they don't call me, I can't do anything for them.
Have you historically had much contact with Hammerskins, or?
Well, I mean, just skins. I mean, I talked to one of the guys that ran their website. I emailed once in a while, but no more than other people. Just casual contact. I send out my weekly update on the internet, and most of these people get it, pass it around. But I don't. There's no special connection between me and the Hammerskin. One of the problems is these guys always call me after they're in trouble instead of listening to my advice before they get into trouble.
Right. Hey, they're kind of working from behind.
Yeah. You know, it's like they call me, and I, you know, some guy calls me, and I say, oh, yeah, I was arrested. Well, what did you say? Well, they talked to me for 2 hours. I said, well, there's nothing I can do for you if you talk for 2 hours. You've already convicted yourself.
Yeah. What about the talk to a couple skins that must have been, you know, couple of the, you know, first ones in L.A., and they were American Front out in West Covina.
Yeah.
Did you have much contact with those
guys?
Well,
I was associated with a fellow who created American Front, Bob Hike, up in Portland.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he came in, he was in San Francisco and was working with our people in San Francisco. He started American Front, and I supported him. He was at this first Aryan rock concert we had up there. In fact, he was the one who originated the idea and started setting it up. It was more his deal than mine.
Uh-huh.
Anyhow, I was associated with them way early, but now that Perazzo is running it, and it's taken a more left-wing turn, but I get along with them fine.
Yeah, actually, I just looked at their website not too long ago. It's, it's interesting what seems to be occurring there.
Yeah, well, the right wing can't get along with them, but I do.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty. I can move any direction I want to go. You know, I had dealings with the black Muslims. I made 2 trips to Japan. I got contacts, good contacts in Japan. I got my contacts in South America and Russia all over the place, you know, because I'm not so rigid, you know. I can work with people on the level they want to work. I even got a guy in Brooklyn, he's a rabbi, calls himself Jews for Hitler.
Oh,
he's
really?
Got a website, everything. I said, hey, man, so he talks to me all the time.
Jews for Hitler?
I'm getting more Jews that want to get involved. It's sort of a tough situation. I had one woman, a housewife in Staten Island. She's Jewish. And I can't stand these non-whites. They drive me nuts, and I hate them. She said, but you're so anti-Jewish. She said, it makes it rough for me. So,
how do you feel about that?
Well, I don't recruit a Jew.
Yeah, yeah.
However, I feel about the same thing about Christians anymore. I think they're even more dangerous than all the Jews.
Huh.
You got this Christian way of thinking has got us more screwed up, I think, than the Jews have us screwed up. So, but anyhow, if I take the position that, in fact, I put it on my update this week, defining a Jew. I said, the traditional right-wing thing about a Jew is wrong. They're not a race. They've never been a race. A Jew can be of any race. A Jew is a mindset, a person who either practices Judaism or practices a belief in that sort of a ethnic... It's not even ethnic, it's sort of a gang mentality of a bunch of people who sort of go along with Judaism. So I said, if a guy comes to me and he is an Aryan, genetically, physically, and he doesn't practice Judaism, but doesn't believe in Judaism, and hopefully doesn't believe in Judeo-Christianity, but his some relative has been a Jew, I said, so what? We should recruit the guy. Well, that raised sort of a firestorm.
Now, when was that?
Oh, I just put that on my update. Well, I've talked about this before on my update, but I detailed it out this week on my update.
Oh, really?
I've gotten some flack about it. And I said, and all of a sudden he said, well, you're recruiting Jews. I said, I never said I'm recruiting Jews. I said, read what I said, listen to what I said carefully. I said, if the person, a Semite is a mixed breed. And so you got Asian, you got black, then you got Aryan, and then you got mixed breed, or Semites. I'd never recruit anybody like that. But if a man, and many Jews assimilated into European Aryan culture, they look as Aryan as any damn Aryan walking down the street, and much more Aryan than most of the Klan meetings I've been to be perfectly honest. I saw Duke recruiting people that we would never put in out here, down there in New Orleans. There's a lot of mixed shit down there. So here you got a guy that he looks Aryan, he talks Aryan, he doesn't have anything to do with Judaism or anything like that. But he's got a relative that was a Jew, grandfather. Big deal. See? I said, I think we make a big mistake by keeping that kind of person out, even though they're not beating on our door to get in either.
Right.
So the Jewish gal emails me yesterday. She says, you know, I listen to all your updates, and I love everything you say, but I'll just overlook the parts where you attack the Jews. She must be getting pretty desperate, you know.
Wow, that's interesting.
But that's a touchy issue, but I'm the only guy that wants to touch the touchy issue. Pierce won't touch it.
Yeah.
Their traditional, National Socialism in Germany took that turn, that Jews were a race, and it was a political decision. Many National Socialists didn't want to go that route, but because there were many of these so-called Jews that looked just like any other German, and they weren't practicing Jews or anything like that, Hitler should not have bothered them. He should have, if the ones who want to maintain being a Jew by religion or what else, that said, I'm a Jew, he should have deported those people. But the ones who swore allegiance to the Germany and didn't identify with Judaism and weren't half mixed breeds or anything like that, he should have bothered them.
What about the issue of defining an Aryan?
Well, an Aryan to me, I use it in the broadest sense. The term really means nobility in Sanskrit. In the Sanskrit language, it means nobility. So what I mean is the portion of the white race that are the nobility today are the people who are racially conscious. The white people who are racially conscious. This doesn't mean every one of them has to be 6'5" and blonde hair and blue eyes. It does mean you have a heart and a brain dedicated to the survival of your race. And so I use it in a broader concept than just a genetic, just genetics.
But in terms
and
of
to me, an Aryan now is a mixture of all the tribes, the Teutons, the Celts, the Germanics, all of them, you know, under the heading Aryan, even though there was a separate Aryan group in the beginning.
But in terms of, distinguishing, as to an Aryan and a non-Aryan, like for instance a Southern Italian.
Well, that gets a little iffy there, and it's a problem because if a guy is a little bit mixed and he wants to get involved, they'll always say I'm Italian. It's because it's European you're in.
Uh-huh.
Well, we get around that easily. We say we don't care what country you come from. We look at you racially.
Uh-huh.
And you could be from Borneo, but if you're white, you're white. If you're not, you're not. And today, there's so much race mixing around the world, you can't go by nationality.
Uh-huh.
And I tell some of them, I say, look, some of these Southern Italians, I know thousands of Mexicans that are lighter than some of
sure.
these well, Italians.
Yeah.
So
the
I tell
Moors,
Yeah, well, I say that on my update. I said, wait a minute. There was one guy that's working. He's a right-hand man to David Duke. His name is Vincent Breedy. Why? He's darker than hell. He's got jet black hair, black eyes, brown skin, the whole bit. And I said, nice guy. I met him. Smart, everything. But he's not white. I said, if you're going to recruit guys like that, I could recruit half the country of Mexico. But Pierce didn't listen to me. Oh, yeah, he's white. I said, well, boy, your idea of white is different than mine.
So what exactly, though, is your, is there something where you can point to that says this is white and that's not?
Well, we say this. You could be a 1/16th of another race and be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, your great-grandfather or grandmother could be of another race. Yeah, but as long as, ever since that time, you've bred white,
mm-hmm.
you'd be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
There's gray areas.
Yeah.
We're not these rigid, some of these identity people go nuts. I remember how they used to breed one drop of blood and you are another race. And shit, be a lot of people in trouble. That's like when they ask you if you were dying in the street, they always ask you that, would you take black blood? I laugh. I say, hell yes, I take that. Don't make me black. It's because I take some black blood to save my life.
Right.
You know. And then the preacher would say, one drop of Jewish blood and you're a Jew. And I'd say, wait a minute, could you tell me what blood group the Jews are in? Oh, man. So, a guy that's reasonably, guys are always asking me that on the radio, oh, what do you, see, how do you determine a white man or an Aryan? I said, well, I can sure as hell show you the opposite. We go down to South Chicago. Mm-hmm. That's what George Lincoln Rockwell used to say.
Like, and you know one when you see one?
I think one of the things is where you can have black hair, still be an Aryan or white man. You can even have, a little shady skin. But you should have Aryan features, not Negroid nose, things like that. The key is always look at their eyes. And black eyes, you don't see any pupils. If they've got no color in their eyes, brown, blue, green, gray, you don't have much white man there. That's one of the things. But on the other hand, I do have network with people who are not white. Mm-hmm. And I say, look, I would not let you in my inner circle, but if you want to cooperate over the internet, things like that, sure.
Right.
No problem. If the Muslims or black nationalists want to talk about something, there's no problem. I'll meet with them. And I got along fine in Japan. I'd probably be going back there one of these days. And I like Japan, but I want to come home. I don't want them to move our country over here. I've taken a lot of information in Japan. They're reprinting a lot of books that I've put them in contact with, race books. They have a high regard for what we do here. They can't understand why we put up with all this black problem. Japanese.
Yeah.
They're very racist.
Yeah.
They don't even want the Koreans. I can't tell much difference. But they can. Two blocks away, there's a goddamn Korean. I don't know how they tell.
You mentioned to me one of the times we talked on the phone about the documentary that Tony Kaye is making about the American.
Well, yeah, and I haven't. It was supposed to come out, but I haven't seen it. It hasn't come out, I guess. And Tony's he's a eccentric guy. Maybe he put the lid on it. I don't know. I'm going to have to read. There's so many things going on. And, in fact, I'd almost forgotten about it. I should try to contact Tony Kaye and see what he's going to do about it.
Is he based down in Southern California?
He's in L.A.
He's in L.A.?
He's a funny Jew. He's sort of a maverick. And he goes around L.A. with his Lincoln Town Car with his license plate as Jew. I said, hey, Tony, you like to get your ass shot off around here. There's a lot of Arabs in town. He laughed.
How would I get in contact with him?
Well, I had a phone number there at home. I don't know whether it's still good. I'll have to try it. I'll give it to you.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great. He had an office.
Okay. Yeah, because he talked to quite a few people for the movie, right? I know.
Yeah, we took a whole bunch of guys up there. Yeah. And I hope that documentary ultimately comes out.
Yeah.
And remember the film Romper Stomper?
Yeah, I've got that. Yeah.
Well, that's Crow now. He was a lead in Gladiator.
He's become a pretty big star.
He's a good actor, and that's a great film, Gladiator.
Oh, really?
Oh man, it's absolutely, it's just great. The only thing better could be this deal where you put on the goggles and everything, and you're there,
That's right. Virtual.
Yeah, virtual reality. Oh, that would be great because you're walking around the Coliseum. And they took the bottom of the Coliseum, which is still there, and electronically put the top floors like when it was new.
Uh-huh. Huh.
And it's just like you're walking around Rome. It was great.
That's amazing. So you liked American History X?
Yeah. The best, our points came out the strongest. Mm-hmm. Their points were the weakest. Even the critics said that. Mm-hmm.